You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our scripture today comes from the book of Ephesians. Now, scholars actually debate the authorship of Ephesians. Some attribute it to Paul. However, there are some that challenge that notion. But regardless of that, whoever wrote the letter to the Ephesians was concerned about order in the fledgling church. These words in Ephesians are part of a diatribe about this behavior. And remember, none of these issues would have even been mentioned, backbiting, profane talk, and so on, if there weren't problems going on within the church. The Ephesians were admonished to be gentle with one another, kind, sensitive, and forgiving. And that shouldn't be too tough, should it? That's Clearly, there were some problems going on with disagreements and provocative talk and provocative behaviors. It was a different world at that time than our world now. But I believe that there is wisdom for us that we can draw from these ancient words. Let's listen while Beth reads it for us.
From Ephesians, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the
Boomerang Christianity. That's what we're going to talk about today for a few minutes, and I hope you'll feel the boomerang effect as we go through this. Here we go. "Right from the moment of our birth," and I'm quoting the Dalai Lama now, "we're under the care and kindness of our parents. Later, when we are sick and old, we are again dependent upon the kindness of others. Since we're so dependent on others at the beginning and at the end of our lives, how could it be that we would neglect kindness toward the middle?" I think a good point is made by this. Let's think about this middle part of our lives. To whom should we practice kindness at this stage of our lives? Anybody? Yeah, we probably ought to be nice to each other. The obvious answer is that we should be kind to one another. We've often heard it said, and David and I both researched to try to find the exact source of this quote, and we couldn't find it, but somebody wise said it. We've often heard it said that we should be kind because everyone we meet is fighting a battle we know nothing about. Now, many people fight those battles quietly, without complaining. For them, as for all of us, even a tiny act of kindness helps us to manage our battles. But not everybody is convinced. Some may wonder why we should be kind to one another. Some will say, "Who's been kind to me lately?" Or we might say, "If I'm kind to him, I will just be taken advantage of." Now, be honest, have any of you ever had those thoughts? No, of course not, Tom. Nobody here has ever had such thoughts. It's all those other folks who think that way. But that's not the Christian way, or is it? And if you don't know the answer to that, we've got a lot of work to do here. There's a significant body of research that indicates that when we are kind to one another, we enhance our own happiness. In many cases, this research points to improved health, both physical and emotional health. Lots and lots of websites attest to that. We can find research that shows the health benefits of extending a simple act of kindness towards another. This enhances the immune system, and it results in increased serotonin levels in our systems. Serotonin being a neurotransmitter that has a calming and a relaxing effect on us. When we're being kind and loving to ourselves, we do experience healthy results. However, for many folks, self-love is very difficult to practice. Why? Not a rhetorical question. Responses, please. We don't think we deserve it. That's very good. Anybody else got anything? Yeah, Rosie. It's thought of as being selfish. It's almost like you were programmed to lead me into my next point here. But let's kind of shift this around a little bit. What are some examples of people who are kind and loving to themselves? Can you give me any examples of how you have been kind to yourself lately? Ice cream cone? I'll see to it that you get one. A massage. Yeah. Reminds me, it's time for me to call to get one. What else? Any other ways that you've been kind to one another or to yourself? Well, think about it. Think about it. And sometimes this kindness to ourselves is not necessarily something that you do yourself, but maybe it's something you've observed and thought, wow, I need to do that. And as we were growing up, here's where you played into it, Rosie, we were told that we shouldn't be selfish. The problem is that we translate that directive to mean we can't love ourselves. Selfishness and self-love are seen as the same thing. However, I submit that the most selfish thing we can do is deny our right to self-love. We're keeping our wonderful selves from our family, our friends, our acquaintances, and our various institutions, and we are denying our loving God. Let's think about this scripture from Matthew. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great commandment and the first commandment, and a second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a pretty powerful list of recipient of loving kindness. God, your neighbor, yourself. I believe that when we practice kindness toward our neighbor, we are giving loving kindness to God. I'm reminded of the biblical passage in Matthew in which Jesus reminds his disciples, "That which you have done to the least of these, you did to me." When we love others, we love God, and that gets passed on. It's a boomerang effect, something that I like to call boomerang Christianity. What is it? Boomerang. Oh, with enthusiasm. Yeah, okay, all right. I've already mentioned the importance of self-love. In our scripture, we read, "Walk in love as Christ loved us." If Christ loves us, doesn't it follow that we should practice self-love? Self-love is not selfish. It's healthy, and it's the Jesus way. How about loving our four-legged friends? Tommy, where are you? When I was talking with Tommy about this, she said, "Be sure you have some cats up there." So there you go. That's all for you. That's my way of being kind to you. We should love our four-legged friends. The animals deserve our kindness. In Colossians 1, verse 16, we read, "All things were created by him and for him, And in him, all things hold together. This includes animals. I think it's important that we have organizations that lobby on behalf of animals. Granted, scientists do research on behalf of humans using animals, but ethics demand that this kind of research be done humanely and kindly. It's significant that multiple producers do not do animal testing in developing their products. What about physical environment? Our environment includes not only the physical environment, but also our social environment, such as our various political, social, civic, and religious institutions. I feel that it's helpful if we find loving and kind ways to express our opinions, especially when we differ from someone else. We can disagree respectfully or disrespectfully, and I maintain that if we disagree respectfully with an open conversation, we learn and we understand a different point of view and therefore can relate even more in a healthier way. From Ephesians, we read about the importance of positive talk because it imparts grace and kindness to those who hear us speak. It's unifying. We're told to be imitators of God. Jesus showed us how. In Galatians, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law." This is boomerang Christianity. When someone does something kind for you or to you or for you, doesn't it make you want to share the good feeling that comes from that kindness? That act of kindness boomerangs. What's it called? Oh, you're good. You're good. Some may say that doing acts of kindness may somehow weakness. However, in Corinthians, we find the answer to that. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest within me. My power is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We've all had the experience of someone waiting for us to back our car out of a parking place in a crowded parking lot. Any of you ever had that experience? Okay, usually the individual that is waiting for us to back out, what's the motive? They want the space, yeah. Has it ever happened to you that they let you back out and then they went on and didn't take your space? Oh, come on. It surely has happened to you at some time or another. And that feels pretty good, doesn't it? How do we react? We're usually pretty appreciative. Sometimes we're surprised, but we're appreciative. And we might even return the favor to someone else. What's that called? Boomerang Christianity. Got your attention, didn't I? Being kind in the small things is also necessary in training ourselves to be kind of heart in the bigger things. For many of us, we find it difficult to extend our empathy toward those we might at first dismiss as not being worthy of kindness. We might say, well, you know, the poor people are poor because they're so lazy. But most are fighting a battle we know nothing about. We might say, those unemployed people just need to get out and get a job. But most are fighting a battle we know nothing about. If we don't start with the small things, we'll never be able to make the jump to being kind to people and tender-hearted towards situations that many dismiss as not worthy of kindness and tender-heartedness. It starts with the little things, like holding a door for someone, saying please, thank you, letting someone go ahead of you in line at the grocery store, smiling at someone. We've all been in the position where we were just kind of feeling sort of yucky, and somebody just smiles at us. That makes us feel pretty good. What would we call that? Very good. Okay. We're called to be more than just polite. And often, being the recipient of that kind of kindness jolts us into the realization of how much more we can do. Boomerang Christianity. Years ago, when I was in Dubai, I took a real bad fall, landed on my head, and suffered a concussion. I have amnesia about that event. However, my daughter, who was teaching there at the time, was contacted, and she told me about it. She said that she was called by some folks from India who witnessed the event, managed to get her contact information from me, and they called her. I have an enormous sense of gratitude toward those unknown strangers who were kind to me. Sometimes it's the little things, and sometimes it's the big things. In all cases, as followers of Jesus, we are walking in his path and are not just the beneficiaries of his loving kindness, but we're called to reflect that loving kindness in the world, especially toward the least and last in our community. Boomerang Christianity. I'd like to encourage you to visit a website that was put together by the Fountain Hills Cultural and Civic Association. On that website, you can read about random acts of kindness that are performed on someone's behalf. And you can post your own story about a random act of kindness. It's great reading, and it gives us lots to be thankful for. I've put some cards, like you see there, on the back table there. Stop by and take one. I've found that when I carry some of those cards with me and give one to someone who has been kind to me, the boomerang effect shines through. People love being acknowledged. They love being acknowledged. Let's look at a YouTube clip.
Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around, because
did you see the boomerang effect there? The construction worker who started out being kind was also the recipient of somebody's kindness. This adds a positive spin to the saying, what goes around comes around. Kindness keeps the world afloat. That's boomerang Christianity. And this brings me to our stream of thought. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Kierkegaard said, Christianity is not a doctrine to be taught, but a life to be lived. So in that spirit, I offer the words of John Wesley, who said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. What a powerful effect if we follow this advice. When we live a life of kindness and love, the kindness will boomerang. It will grow and grow, increasing our capacity for kindness so that we can be a part of what God wants for the world. Again, in our letter to the Ephesians, and I'm going to close with a passage, this time from the Message version. Watch what God does, and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. Boomerang Christianity. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.